We don't teach people so specifically how to do relationship. We just put them in a model that we think works incredibly. It's got you don't commit too long, you in the midst of that. So, and I've led two groups plenty of times through the years, not all the time. I've taken time off from different groups at different times. And my closest friends are not always in my group. I've led three different groups, one for 8 years, one for 13, two long-term groups, one for 8, one for 13, and now I'm in another one that's at 3, and then, tons of other ones, is kind of youth ministry and all of those that are happening, but there's change that happens, and those friends are family to me, but we never preach you're going to get your best friends there, because that's not the right expectation. This is a filling station where you're going to do life with some people. I have people time and again come and tell me this is what makes this has made all the difference. Yeah. This is what it is about. It saved my life. It's connection. One of the things, if you come to Earth Coast, it's like, there's a lot of things we're not about. And we're not about a lot of events. We're not about, you look at our website and you go, oh, look at all the stuff they're doing. We don't have ongoing events. No, we have life groups. And we want people to get involved in that. So.
This is the Build Groups podcast, where we equip and resource group leaders and pastors in the local church to make disciples with one another together. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Build Groups podcast. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. And with us today, Matt Moore, our co-host. Matt, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I'm really excited today about our guest. I've known Dave Enns from North Coast Church. I've known Dave for 25 plus years. His ministry has impacted my life, so I'm excited to hear from him today and learn, continue learning from him.
Yes, we have a very rare opportunity of our guest with us today, Dave Enns from North Coast Church in California. And so I'm going to let him introduce himself here in just a minute, but I want to give just a little bit of background of some of his ministry and his experience of what he's done and what he is doing. And this is a very rare opportunity, because this is someone who has been a part of a church for 30 years, 30 plus years, and in serving in life groups, ministry, different types of roles and capacities and dynamics and systems and structures, that this church has grown from 700 to over 10,000 during the time that Dave has been with this church. And so he has seen so many things, and I am very, very excited. This is a special episode. It'll be longer than some of our other ones that we've had, because there's just so much to pull out here and to discuss and that we can tease out. And I know you, audience and listeners, you're going to get so much out of this episode with Dave. And so here's a little bit about Dave. He started at North Coast in 1990 as a high school pastor and launched the college ministry with a few students in his apartment that grew to over 300, and then transitioned into groups ministry lead position in 2003. North Coast Church is a widely recognized as one of the most influential innovative churches in America. This is Larry Osborne's church that he had started. It's through Dave's leadership that it remains well known for maintaining over 80% adult participation in weekly home groups. Having been part of helping that ministry, again, grow from 700 to over 10,000 weekend attenders in a multi-site setting, Dave's coaching and strategy training of new and veteran ministry leaders around the country are relevant and valuable, no matter the size or type of ministry they lead. Dave, his educational background, he's got a Master's Divinity from Bethel Theological Seminary. He served as an adjunct professor at Biola. Dave and his wife, Karina, live in San Diego County, and together have 3 adult children. So that's a bit about him. But Dave, man, give us kind of fill in the cracks of all the big points that I gave there. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Awesome, awesome, Adam. Hey, it is great to be here, and that Matt actually wants to still associate with me. I'm blown away, and I'm so excited about that. So hopefully he won't tell you too much. So yeah, Matt, it is, and Adam, I am excited about what God is doing here at North Coast, but not in the church, and reaching people. And I started way back, came here, as you mentioned, on staff to be a high school pastor. I didn't care about adult life groups. I just wanted to be a great youth pastor and got that going and suddenly noticed that they were doing this groups thing that made a ton of sense. And we'll dive into more there, more than I had ever seen. I said, they kind of do groups like youth ministry for adults. And I'll flesh that out as we go, but didn't think a whole lot about it. And then after being involved in the youth ministry for 13 years, they began to say, hey, you should come do groups ministry. And I'm like, no, I want to be a real pastor. Come on, man. And because I was like, yeah, it's just relationships. And even though I was all about relationships as a youth pastor, that's what you do. You know, you do a Bible study and you get kids to connect and all that. And so and the college ministry could not have been going better. And I began to think, well, when do you leave something? And Scott, been there. I wasn't as young as I had been before. And I said, wait, you leave when it's going great. And so I made that move, and I've never looked back. Because what I found out is I've always been a party planner, and what I'm doing as a groups person, I'm a party planner. I just happen to be planning hundreds of parties for all these groups everywhere. And they're the best kind of parties. You can laugh, you can connect, you can get to know people, and you can actually remember what happened at the party, right?
And that's important.
Yeah. You can have, that's important, right? You know, some people don't remember, and that's, those aren't good reasons. And so, but the great thing about it is, when you sit with people and you find out they care, and they don't just listen, but they really care, and you engage in relationship, it's meaningful. And so it's just been, it's been incredible since then. And again, all the challenges through growth and all of that, but that's been exciting. And so never expected. In fact, I was kind of thinking that one of the ideas was, Dave, go become a campus pastor, launch a campus. And I really wanted to do that, but the age of my kids, where they were at, they were just hitting the high school years, and I realized if I was going to make a decision to launch a campus, I knew the next 3 years I was going to be working like no other, which is normal, right? When you launch, not just churches, business, anywhere, you just, it's, you're all in. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And I made that decision, and it surprised a number of them, because they even talked to me, hey, we'd like you to launch this campus or whatever. And I, that was not an easy decision, because it's going to send me down this road of another direction, which is exactly what's happened. It's exactly what's happened. But it was, there's so this blessing on the other side of going that other direction. And it's my heart and passion. And I want to do all I can to help other churches do whatever they can to get people in connected in life-changing friendship. That's what I'm about. There you go. I'm about Jesus, but that too, yeah.
Right, right. That at the heart of all those things you're saying and doing, right?
Amen,
yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And, yeah, and so, yeah, as someone who's been doing this for over 30 years at the same church, which even that in and of itself, being at the same church for 30 years is so rare, and, I mean, just such a beautiful thing. In and of itself, to see the longevity of that ministry and the people that you've invested into. I mean, wow. And so more than 20 years of being the group's lead at North Coast, a dynamic, growing church in so many different ways. Help give us a little bit of context for our audience and our listeners. One of the things that we love to do is give a metrics breakdown so they can really take the principles that you share and properly apply them in their context and not just kind of rip them and copy paste and in a unhelpful or inappropriate way, right? Which you totally get that. And so give us a breakdown of your group's ministry that you oversee, like the types of groups that you have, the total number of groups, leaders, people in a group, you know, percentage. I think I already said that a little bit, but if you know, mm-hmm. just to add to any of that to give them some context.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, and I love what you said. It's like, when I share the principles, the goal is never to be a North Coast. We're only one. You're only one. And if you can learn anything from us, if we can help you, that's my passion and my hope to do something that works. And it's one of the key things. So where we're at right now, or where we were, again, you kind of heard the stats of how we've grown, and that's one of the reasons I've been able to stay in the groups ministry so long, because that growth, because groups is kind of repeating itself a lot, and so my role has continued to change. and my leadership style and the way I work has had to change throughout that time as you grow, because growth causes, everybody's excited about growth, but that means you got to give some things up and you got to change some of your roles. And so that's been a great part of what I'm doing, and it's helped keep my interest of that kind of that new thing, because groups kind of the same thing over and over again. But our context, where we're at right now, way back in the day, God's telling Larry, and this is a thing for North Coast, hey, we want to be at 80%. We want health. We believe our health is going to be defined by our people connected in relationship, not with just Jesus, but with one another. And so he set that that bar at 80%. And the whole story is that I have the only job description everybody knows in the church, and they've had fun with that of saying, you know, join a group so Dave can keep his job and buy his kids Little League shoes. You know, we've done some different fun things like that over the time. There's a really funny video out there way back. We look all much younger. Chris and Larry are both in that one. So, but that's been our goal, and that's been our emphasis in that. And so about 13 years ago, when we moved into this this campus that we're at now, and this is when we were starting to have some other campuses, we had a couple going on, and not at the highest level at that point yet. And so Larry said, hey, you're probably not going to stay at 80 when you make that move, and that's okay. It's the first time I'd ever heard him say that. And we're like, oh, okay. And so we're like, okay, let's do this. Let's not let that happen. And because you know how it is, you grow, you boom, and it's like you can't do it. And it does take people a while to join a group. This whole idea of somebody shows up in my church, how they get in a group, that almost never happens. And so we might talk about that a little later, because it's one of those false ideas that we try to solve. But anyway, since that day when we moved, since that year we moved, we've been at 90% or more of our weekend adult attendance in groups. So that's kind of the number that we figure out. And so that was one of those things, let's do this. And that's continued. And when COVID hit, all the disaster and complexity and all of that that happened with it, and people says, well, how was it for you? And I go, it was one of the most incredibly exciting year for us in groups ministry, because they pivoted. We saw that first spring, all of our groups pivoted to Zoom, which just blew me away, because people didn't know how to do that at that point. But they were so driven. And we were one of the churches that said, we're not going to meet. We didn't meet, I think, for 9 months or something like that. And so, boom, they all but one group pivoted to the Zoom. And I was blown away that they did that. And I mean, it's old senior adult all the way through. And then obviously everything got really messy that next fall, but to see us continue to do that. So since COVID, we have been over 100% of our groups. Now, again, our numbers aren't quite back at weekend attendance where we were before, but they are marching like crazy. But we also know we're doing church differently since COVID, because people have realized, because we've always said church is circles, not rows. Church is, this is, the weekends are not church, and we're not against weekends. We think weekends are important, but that's not where we count our strength. Our strength is our people connected in relationship. We don't want to just teach relationship with Jesus. We want to teach a relationship with one another. And so where we're at metrics-wise is, we've got, I think we're around 650 groups right now. You know, that we're right in the midst of that change. And so in about 8,000 people, 8,000 seats filled. Of course, there's a few doubles in there that happens. And that's a small percentage, something we've always paid attention to. And then we have, I believe, about 1,900 leaders and hosts. And that leader-host team, that thing is, this is important to not launch someone by themselves or just with their spouse, but to launch them with the team. And so that's, again, one of those longevity health things that we think is, shared leadership is super, super important. So that's where our numbers are. We're at a quarter system. We meant fall, winter, spring. It's typically 10 weeks. It might be 9 one time. And then we take summer off. Groups can still meet. Yep, they can. They ask us, do you want to do a bunch of stuff? We're like, nope, we're not going to. And we found it gives a great break for our groups during the summer. But again, most are keeping contact in some way, and it keeps that's all leaders to run a re-up, So that's kind of like our logistical piece of who we are and what we're about in that way.
Man, that is great. I love one of the things I've always loved about North Coast, Dave, and everything you've been involved in. I saw it when you were doing students, is just the intentionality, how intentional you guys are with everything you do. It's kind of a buzzword now, but I'd love to just hear your elevator speech to somebody who comes in and goes, man, why should I join a group? What's the purpose of groups at North Coast?
The purpose is to get people connected to one another in Jesus. And so so often our idea is, I just want to get connected people to Jesus. We see relationship as kind of the second option to follow Jesus, but it's never been the second option. Mm-hmm. Right in the beginning, it was not good for Adam to be alone. And it wasn't just for the reproduction and joy of it, right? It was companionship. We are all about companionship. The enemy sends a lie that it's Jesus and me is all you need. And it's true, to become saved, he's all I need. Amen, right? Saved by grace. But to be spiritually healthy, if you're by yourself, you're not spiritually healthy. Your perspective is limited. You're not getting input from others. I mean, it's all through Scripture. There's over 30 one another's. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Don't forsake meeting together so you can be encouraged one another. And so life groups, and we call them, used to be called growth groups. Now they're called life groups because everybody wants to get rid of a growth, right? And so.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. We just felt like life groups was more of, tells you exactly what it is people want to do life together. Their biggest need is to be connected, to be accepted, and also forgiven. And so, right, you know, hey, I want to have friends, I want to be connected. And this is not an introvert-extrovert. Introverts want to be connected too. That's more about how you process life and redo your energy. But, you know, and Jesus does that for us. He forgives us. But I experience that through the Holy Spirit, but I experience it at a whole nother level relationally. Mm. And when I have someone personally forgive me for who I am, and you go, well, Dave, you're a saved, you're a child of God. No, I'm a sinner, man. I got some sin that my wife needs to seriously forgive me. I have friends that need to forgive me for things. And when they do that, and I don't deserve it, that is powerful. I always talk about, you know, you get married for what your spouse offers you. The incredible thing that I have found, that my wife married me in spite of my weaknesses. She knew me. We dated a long time. And I'm like, wow, that's the powerful piece, because she knew what she was getting into and she still chose to love me. And anyway, so hey, nobody wants to be alone. We need some alone time, but yeah. we want to get connected. That was a little longer than elevator, but it was a tall building. Tall building, right?
That's fantastic. No, I had a conversation with somebody in the last hour talking through anxiety, that they're dealing with anxiety. And, you know, if COVID didn't teach us anything, it taught us that people need people. Oh. How much anxiety is now in the world because of what took place during COVID and people being separated and not being with one another, living out the one another. So,
well, Matt, I love what you're saying, because COVID put a magnifying glass over our relationships and how important they are through the world, right? It wasn't anything that wasn't true before. It just magnified what was going on because everybody was medicating with whatever it was in their life. After COVID, they don't have an excuse anymore. So all that anxiety is way higher. And this is why I'm so passionate about helping churches do relationships, not just with Jesus, is people want it. They're asking for it. They're trying to figure it out. It's why the clubs, it's all that. The people aren't going just for fun. They're going for connection. They are going for connection. And we can offer them forgiveness. It's just incredible. And love, and unconditional love, which is amazing. And what it means to follow Jesus. So,
we've got the hot spot on community, right, biblically speaking, in the world.
100%.
True fulfillment and removal of that loneliness and that epidemic just spread all across the world in our country. Like you're saying, Dave, I think it solves that. And no, I don't think that we could emphasize that enough.
Yeah.
There is a volunteer crisis in the church today. What are you doing about it? Build Groups Coaching and Consulting helps churches build a custom, discover, develop, and deploy new volunteers and leaders process to increase your volunteer base by 30 to 50% in 6 to 12 months. We do this with churches over and over again, all shapes and sizes, all across the country. To learn more about how we can change your ministry world, deepen your bench so that you never feel the pinch or pain of not having enough volunteers or leaders in your ministry again, go to buildgroups.net/consult.
Well, we haven't talked enough about your book that you recently put out, Circles Not Rows. You said that just a minute ago, but man, I was reading through that. And one of the things I absolutely love is when you talk about the role of the leader in the spiritual growth of the people in their groups. And so I'd love for you just to kind of expand on that and talk through, man, what's the role of the leader? What can they do to help their people grow? What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, like when we look at our kind of our purpose at North Coast, our big purpose is to make disciples in a healthy church environment. We got kind of five things that we call them the five W's. And this is nothing that everybody has their different thing. And it's good to have so you know how to evaluate your success. So word, you know, the word, practical teaching of the word, worship, witness, work would be the ministry part. And then warmth would be the one. Significant Christian relationships would be that we need to focus on. And so we're recruiting leaders, they're getting them all signed up. And so one of the things is, you know, as a leader, you're like, okay, I gotta get these people to grow, right? That's their big thing. And so we have our new leader training, and they're all showing up, and I start with a couple things. I go, first of all, I just want you guys to know there's a lot of times I don't even want to go to my group, and I tell some fun stories about that. I talk about, oh, hey, my group knows, it's like, hey, I want to do silent prayer in separate rooms. That means I'm tired and want to take a nap and don't really want to be there. And they all crack up, but it's true, right? We all do. We don't want to go. But we are training our leaders, though, so I say, but why do I go? I go because it's a holy moment. Because every time you gather together with people, Holy Spirit doesn't just speak to you. He speaks through others. And I don't care if you are a brand new believer. When I'm with my group, okay, let's talk. Well, let's listen to each other. Is the Holy Spirit speaking? And so that discernment. So, but here's the whole thing is what we tell them is you can't make anybody grow in your group. That's God's job, not your job. And that's based on the Corinthians passage where Paul talks about Silas watered it, this person planted it, all those different things. He says, but it's God who makes it grow. So we have this kind of, our leaders are going, oh, there's this like collective sigh because they're like, I got to be so good. I've got to help them grow spiritually. But what we say is you're going to create an environment for growth. And what that environment for growth is to build relationships with one another that builds trust. Because when you build trust, then people begin to listen to one another. And when they begin to listen to one another, they feel cared for. And when they feel cared for, they begin to say, here's what's going on in my life. Here's the sin I'm dealing with. Here are those different pieces that are there. The goal is not Bible study. We do Bible study, but the goal is to interact in relationship and to build those relationships. So that's one of the things that we're like setting leaders. Here's what you're going to do. You want to build that relationship. In fact, we'll ask them the question, our leaders say, what makes a great life group meeting? And, you know, they'll come up with somebody confesses a sin, or they got an insight on a scripture, or it's a great, you know, somebody did a great prayer, they laughed at my jokes, we had great dessert, all those things. And those are all good. Those are great things. Those are all the things that we want to have happen when we meet. But what if they don't happen 1 week? Was that a bad meeting? Or what makes a bad meeting? Well, what if the same people are saying the same thing every week and it's about three of them? All of a sudden, these great spiritual great things are not good because the rest of the group isn't involved. So what we tell our leaders is here's how you create a great environment. Hear from everyone every time you meet and keep God's word at the center. And that's what I want them to think at the end of the meeting. Did we hear from everyone? Because the enemy wants you to not hear from everyone. He has a subtle, he is so crafty, it's insane. You know, he's got kind of three things that he goes after that he wants to take us down. When someone comes to know Jesus, young, old, whatever, right? It's an amazing thing, Ephesians 2:8-9, saved by grace. Amen. It's an amazing thing, this mountain of grace. We were talking about a mountain of grace last week at our life group. It's like, it's a mountain of grace. We were looking in Psalms 103. It was like, okay, that's what God gives us. Mm-hmm. But what happens when the Spirit gets in, suddenly you are compelled to do ministry, because Ephesians 2:10 says we're created to do good works in Christ. You want to do ministry. You want to get involved. And the enemy wants to make sure you don't read verse 10, or that you come to verse 10 and you think it's too difficult. And he does that for three ways. And this is what we've seen over the years, is the first one is sin and addiction. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows sin and addiction. So we preach and teach. Amen. We need to do it. We need to go. But there's two really subtle ways, because he's a masquerader. He's a master disguiser. And the next one is he wants to make your faith complicated. He wants you to think, our leaders to think, if they knew the Bible as well as Chris or Larry, as our teaching pastors, or whoever, one of us, right, that they would have more of the Holy Spirit in them. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is totally not true. It is not true. The Holy Spirit, he's in. Yeah, sin can come on the line, thing can get foggy, you're not paying attention. You got to deal with that. But we have this idea that this is what it is. Like Dave has a master's of divinity. He's smarter. He has more of the Holy Spirit. That's not true. That's not true at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, there is people that's the last thing they should ever do is take a seminary class or a Bible class, because they're not wired for it. I got a friend, I write about this in the book, I got a friend that joined my group, he was my group for 13 years. Took me 3 years to get him in a group, got him in a group. I don't know when he came to know Jesus exactly, and because I don't always know when that mark is, right? But he wouldn't listen, he would listen to the messages, but he wouldn't write through the questions ahead of time. But he was in the group, he was participating, all of that stuff that goes with it. And I began to ask him, hey, tell me about your, what your school? He's a super successful guy, entrepreneur, tradesman. This guy was just, he was sharp. And so he goes, yeah, I went to school in the parking lot. I'm like, what do you mean you went to school in the parking lot? And he goes, well, we're talking college. He went through high school, he made it through. And he goes, yeah, I never got out of my car. I just, school classes are, they're just never done it for me. And I'm like, huh, interesting. So I'm starting to put that together when it comes to reading scripture and how he has to deal with kind of that, those kinds of that study element. And so he's accessing the word through all of us in the group, right? He's hearing the word taught. And so fast forward 13 years later, and his name's Jason. I've told the story. He's given me permission to do it. We sat and hashed it all through before I even read about it. And he goes, and Jason is, he doesn't lead a life group, but he's making a difference in a life group. He's involving people in ministry. He helps me run this one mega men's event that's out in the desert with four-wheelers and all that kind of stuff. But he's a really important friend to me because he speaks to me in my life too, in his enthusiasm and his servitude. But here's my whole thing about with Jason is, Jason at the end of the life group, the word to Jason is not go read your Bible more. Because if we said that to Jason, he would go, oh my gosh. And people are like, when do you need to read? And it's like, no, you got to have the word in your life. Mm-hmm. But the word to Jason after the group is continue to follow Jesus and serve those people. And he accesses, there's people that know the word way better than him in the group. Now, he knows the word better. He knows it better. But we are so often this linear line for spiritual growth in the midst of it. And it's, there's just, that's not, people grow in a need to grow basis. Larry talks about this in his books too. You've heard him talk about it. And it just, when I came to North Coast, I'm like, that's it. It's not a classic. I asked Jason, I go, if I would have said for you to go to Bible study class, would you have go? He says, that would have wrecked me. And here's what he said. He goes, Dave, and he laid in me on this. And he goes, you don't understand how many guys, he used the guys, are just like me. So when you write those certain questions, it got to be, it's like, I have a hard time processing how to talk about that. And so where is my goal? To get Jason over here to be like me because I have a degree in theology and all of that? That's not my goal. My goal is to help Jason follow Jesus and whatever that thing is in front of him or is holding him back, to help him with that. But I want him to know that Jesus loves him right for where he's at. And it's not a knowledge thing. It's a following Jesus thing.
Great, man. The love in our Lord, man, it's amazing what happens when we see people pursue Christ. And, you know, one of the things I've always appreciated about you and your ministry is how well you've loved people and poured into people. And you talk about this some, I've seen in some of your trainings, of how important the discussion is before the group can be just as important as the discussion in the group. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how that... and just how important it is as leaders that we love our people and care for our people and value them.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing is you have a meeting, but your meeting, what you do before and after your meeting defines whether what you said in the meeting was worth anything. So like one of the things we'll tell our leaders is like, hey, when the meeting's over, who are you hanging out with? We all have our three people that we're closer to. That's true for everything. That's why we kind of say our number, the size of groups, is our ideals between 12 and 14. We can push to 16, but we're like, that's too many because you can't hear from everyone. And then you're glad people don't show up and, you know, all that stuff that happens with it. But that relationship with those people, is that connection outside is important. And, you know, again, before, after the meeting, but even beyond that, being able to stay connected. Now, everybody doesn't need a ton of time, that's for sure. Everybody, there's different ones. And so that number, that 12 to 14, what I've seen is that people kind of gather in groups of three or four. That's why that number is so good, because then it has multiple personalities, not the mental health issue, but, you know, these different types of connections. And so that helps make that happen. So as a leader, you're going to have certain people that you are actually going to need to show more time to than others. And so so that's one of the things that we just talk about, that importance of connection.
It's awesome,
man. I love it. How do you train small group leaders and teachers? Group Leader Training, a biblical manual for small group leaders and teachers in the local church, is a holistic 5-session training based on Acts 2, 42 through 47 that trains group leaders to deepen community, encourage growth, mobilize group members to service and sharing of their faith with unbelievers. Course videos, belief assessments, and more resources are provided online with special access through the workbook. 50% off bulk orders is available exclusively on our website. To learn more, go to buildgroups.net/coming soon. So, man, Dave, could you expound? There was one section of your book I found super insightful. And honestly, it was, I think in some ways it butts up against some of like what the modern church thinks of today. And you even said it a little bit with the linear discipleship, right? And it doesn't happen linearly. Like, hey, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. Take these steps. And as you progress through those steps in that chronological order, that's what spiritual growth looks like. And so you bring out in your book this idea of measuring a successful group, right? And what does it, how do you determine, hey, this is a successful group? And this isn't, and the outcomes that you look at. And so between spiritual growth and spiritual health, man, could you elaborate on that for us just with what we saw in that book? Because, I mean, I just was like, wow, this is a very different perspective. And I think it's right on. I think it's phenomenal. So, yeah, just talk a little bit more about that.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky conversation, because it talks about growing the knowledge of Scripture. There's all kinds of growth verses in the Bible, so we do want to grow. And at times we can easily see people that are growing, like even my Jason and I could see that growth over time, but we always want to try to evaluate it. And again, it's a fair statement to try to go, okay, let's figure out if someone's growing, but But what I have found is I don't know, you know, it's like, are they showing the fruit of the Spirit? It would be one of the growth examples that, you know, more of the fruit of the Spirit. And I've seen people do that as they come to know Jesus. They're bitter. They've learned to forgive. They've seen those. I mean, I've seen that for all through my years. I've seen that. But yet what also is interesting is that I know non-believers that show more of the fruit of the Spirit than believers. And so it's kind of like, wait, what? So is that personality? I mean, you know, again, I don't know how to evaluate all the time. So again, it's fair to ask some of those questions. But so one of the things is like, well, how do we know our groups, our people are growing? How do we know if they're even effective? Is the question. And so we're like, well, that's why I would say, hey, we got to focus on health. What is health? Mm-hmm. And so what's a sign of a healthy group? Well, that people are showing up. We kind of have what we would call five health vital signs of a healthy group, and that people are showing up to the group, not full attendance. That's not how life is. But if generally speaking, and that's why attendance is a major deal to us. We get attendance from our groups all the time. It's our best barometer to tell us how a group's doing, but not just how a group's doing, how a leader's doing. And so because if they come to something that they want to get connected at, and that's, you know, why do people stay at churches that aren't doing well? Because their friends are there. And so are you building that friendship? So it's not just, so one would be, are they going to the group, but then are they staying in the group?
Yeah.
And so again, we always have a group. Now, it's never perfect. We always have a group of people that don't stay in a group. And I think, you know, and we track that. It's like 20%. But if we've got a leader that is consistently losing half of their people in their group, we might have a leadership issue. Again, we want to dive into that. It's part of that taken. So we would say people showing up to the group is one of our health markers. We'd say people remaining in the group, that would say, okay, that's a healthy group. That would be also that that we are retaining our leadership. Like if our leaders are quitting, and again, not if we're retaining 80%, I'm like, wow. If we're retaining 70%, it's great. Is 70 a C? I'm like, well, in the academic world it is, but not in the group's world.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think if you're retaining 80% of your leaders, that's 100%. That's an A+. And so if you get 70%, that's still an A. Maybe it's an A-. I don't know. But just that whole idea we get in this, like, oh no. But see, one of the things that we'll tell our team, even when we're getting ready to go into the next quarter and recruiting leaders, we'll say, hey, just get ready to lose 10%. And they're like, oh no, disaster. And it is because you're losing a leader, but it's not. It's normal. Like people move, they have things happen, all of that. So you're kind of just finding out, you know, what it is. So it's the retention of leaders, and then the recruitment of leaders would be a sign of health. Are you recruiting them, and can you get new leaders? Now, if you're not growing and you've got 100% in your groups, you're not going to have a lot more people to get leaders. I had one of our campuses. He was their attendance was coming slow back. They were like 130% in groups. He goes, I don't know how to get more groups, whatever. That's because you're saturated, man. You got so many. Now their campus has grown. He's down to 94%, which is still ridiculous.
We'll pray for you.
It's ridiculous.
We feel so bad.
No, right. All this stuff. And again, we're operating in a new paradigm. We're not just counting weekend. We know people are doing church different on weekends. That we want to offer a great weekend, but we know that's not the thing. I mean, but now he's got more room he does have more people there to be able to do this. So the retention of leaders. So the other one would be percentage in groups. So for us as a church, now this isn't just a group event. This number isn't group evaluation. This is church health. We would say, and again, when Larry said way back in the day, the 80%. Now, is our goal to stay 100? I don't know. But our goal is to stay at least at 80. In my mind, if when we were at 90 for many years, it's like, well, if we drop 10, that's a sign, that's a problem. But we rest when people are in a group spiritually. Because we would say that joining a life group is one of the most important spiritual decisions a person could make. And here's why. Because everybody, any follower of Jesus wants to read the Bible or think they should read the Bible more, right? Everybody raises their hand. Almost everybody. There's a few people that aren't, and I don't understand them. So, but then there's another, they're pastors or academics is who they are. Then there's another group. So the other thing that they want to do is they want to remember the message. They want to remember what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. And they would like it, whether it's the weekend message or the life, and they would love to be able to talk to someone about what's going on in their life, but they don't know how to find that place. They just don't know. People do not know how to do friendship. They don't know how to make it, but they desire it deeply. They desire it deeply. And so that's why when we say 80%, we believe our church is healthy. Then if it's not, then we got a bunch of people outside of relationship. And you could say, well, Dave, they all making friends on their own. No, they're not. They wish they can. That's a small percentage. That's the crisis. And that, to me, I believe is the enemy's number one attack on us right now, is stay isolated. You and Jesus, it's all you need. So that would be the percentage, and then group signups would be our other evaluator. How many group signups do you have? And so do you have plenty of openings, extra openings to get into groups? So one of the things that we talk about, signups are all over, and if we fill all of our groups after signups, we would say that's a failure. Yeah. You're like, wait, no, you filled all your groups. You kept your groups. I'm like, no. If we don't cancel groups, we failed. And that's really difficult because recruiting, like everybody, is our number one challenge is recruiting. And we'll probably talk about that in a little bit. But if people want to get in a group, we have to offer groups at times, places, and locations that are doable for our people. So when we say, hey, you got to get connected, but for some reason in the church, we don't offer a way to do that. Now, we might offer a Bible study. And it's like, okay, I already just heard a Bible study. That's not relationship. So it's the relationship piece that is just so important for our people. Because when they join a group, I already told this, I go back to my story of Jason a little bit here. But suddenly I'm reading the word like I never would. I'm hearing from other people about like I never would. I'm building trust with other people to be able to speak into my life or be encouraged or whatever it is in what's going on. And so that's why we want to make sure we have plenty of openings. Because if you fill them all, that means you sold out of a product. And none of you want to go to stores that sold out products. In fact, you quit going to those stores. Mm. Hey, we've got the greatest jacket on sale, but you show up and it's only a large and it's in a weird color. And so when we say join groups or get connected signups, that's why that whole side is such an important piece. And the last one is in community service. And we started this just in working with partner organizations, nonprofits throughout our area. It was not easy at first. They didn't trust us because they've been burned by churches all the time.
Ooh, yeah.
But we said, let's work with them because they all need help. And it has been phenomenal. And now we can't say no enough to them asking, come help. And that is not a big church thing. That is at any size. You got a nonprofit, you can get people. And we have it set up for groups. Go on then, like, skip their group, go serve at this ministry. Those meetings, those times are almost better than their socials, which we also build in to our groups. Go make sure you go do a social with your group instead of meet sometime. So those are kind of our five. Percentage in groups, group attendance and retention. Number three is recruitment and retention leadership, group signups, and involved in community. So that's how we decide, evaluate the health of our groups and if what's going on.
Right. And that even goes back to the original question that Matt had asked you on, hey, you can't make anyone grow spiritually, but you can create environments. Yeah. Right. For them to have that growth fostered. And so you can make the greenhouse, but you can't cause the growth. And such a good word. That sigh of relief, like, oh, it's not up to me. But those of you who are listening, audience listeners there, some great metrics to use, maybe to have your own spiritual health checkup with groups ministry. I mean, just those are phenomenal. And so, Dave, moving more towards, we've been looking at a global sense of, hey, health of the group's ministry and all that is going on and your life groups and 650 different groups. There's a lot to oversee and to manage and to measure. But let's kind of zoom in now on the individual, like, group's pastor, because you're a guy who's been at your local church for 30 years on staff. And so not only are you still in ministry after 30 years, you're the same church after 30 years. And so it begs the question for me, has groups played a significant role in your longevity of ministry. And so, you know, we see at times there are people who they will manage and coordinate groups, but they don't get to receive the benefit of groups necessarily themselves from a personal level involvement. So tell us a little bit about your personal involvement as an individual believer and a recipient and follower of Christ. Like, what does your involvement look like belonging to a group?
Yeah, that's a good question. So relate, it's not even groups, but it's relationships that keep you, have kept us in. And so, like, we would say, you know, we want everybody in a group at North Coast, but we know that's not the answer. The answer is relationships, because if you go in a group and don't engage and don't involve, you're not going to build those relationships. And so, we would say our staff, and I know you asked me personally, but even church-wide, it's like if our staff are not in groups, then whatever our staff is doing, our people will do. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So what's your leadership doing? That's what your church will do. You could talk about programs and whatever, but if your leadership is not doing that, they're not. It's not going to be important to them. And so that's why we would say, yeah, it's super important. Do we have staff that aren't in a life group? Yeah, and then we fire them. No, we don't. But our question to them, because it's not, the answer isn't being a life group or anybody's group. The answer is, are you in significant relationships? So there's times when people need to take a season off from their life group. But the question is, who are you still with? Do you still have significant relationship? Because the day we think our program is the answer is a really sad day. Our programs are systems that help people do things that they don't know how to do. So again, I'm a strong preacher. We don't teach people so specifically how to do relationship. We just put them in a model that we think works incredibly. It's got you don't commit too long, you in the midst of that. So, and I've led two groups plenty of times through the years, not all the time. I've taken time off from different group at different times. And my closest friends are not always in my group. I've led three different groups, one for 8 years, one for 13, two long-term groups, one for 8, one for 13, and now I'm in another one that's at 3, and then, tons of other ones, is kind of youth ministry and all of those that are happening, but there's change that happens, and those friends are family to me, but we never preach you're going to get your best friends there, because that's not the right expectation. This is a filling station where you're going to do life with some people. I have people time and again come and tell me, this is what makes this has made all the difference. This is what it is about. It saved my life. It's connection. One of the things, if you come to North Coast, it's like, there's a lot of things we're not about. And we're not about a lot of events. We're not about, you look at our website and you go, oh, look at all the stuff they're doing. We don't have ongoing events. No, we have life groups. And we want people to get involved in that. So,
yep. Yeah. No, that's so good. I loved your answer on there. It's not about the group or being in a group as much as it is about the relationship. And even if maybe for a season, like you said, you're not in a official weekly meeting of a life group or whatever that might be, that it's who are you still doing life with outside of that? And for staff, I mean, my goodness, yes, like, that you just put into words what I have felt for a long time of, if our staff are not in groups, then how can we expect people to join a group? And that, you know, they will far sooner do what we model more than we message.
Well, and what happens is when you're in a group, you create the message. See, in other words, they're talking about the message. They don't have to think about whether this is good. They already know it is. So that's why our children's ministry knows it's important to have their people in groups. That's why we limit, we do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off for our people, because so we know they have plenty of time to get in a group. We choose to not do a ton of things so our people are in a group, because we know health will come. The best thing my kids can see me is not that I know Jesus, but that I am in not just me and Jesus, but I'm with my friends following Jesus. And I meet regularly, not on weekends. That's not relationship. They all know that. That's a religious moment. It's an event. It's not relationship. They're great. And so, and my kids are young adults now, and they've been around the country, and they go, Dad, it is so hard to get in so many churches. And my kids are secure, engagement, leadership, all of that. And I'm fortunate they're following Jesus. I raised my kids in a village, and it's amazing. You know, you just pray for that. But they're like, you can't get in. There's great teaching, but it's so hard. There's so many levels, or there's steps you need to do. And we're like, just get you in a group.
Yeah.
Just get in a group. And then we're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah. I hear that a lot. I've heard that from other pastors who have, I mean, amazing kids that have grown up to be young men and women. And that's, you know, and part of why we're doing this podcast is to try and help change some of that, give people a place to enter into in community, whether they've been there for years, decades, or whether they're born there or not born there. And so, Dave, you've said several things along the lines of recruiting leaders, and I'm going to read this straight from your book. And I know, Matt, you're going to want to interject here, because this is like some of the most hottest topic of conversations, and I know we'll spend some great time on this. But in your book, you say recruiting leaders is one of the most challenging things for a church leader to do. And then you go on to say you were probably tempted to bypass all the other chapters and go directly to this one, because one, it is so challenging, but two, it is so valuable, which, right, most things that are the hardest things to do are the most valuable. Where do you find new volunteers and leaders? Build Groups offers a one-time, two-hour Discover exercise virtually or in person with your church staff and team, and help you build a long list of potential new volunteers and leaders you can invite and onboard into a training process to deploy them into the specific ministry area that they are called to. We've helped churches build a list of nearly 400 names. If you would like to do the same and not feel the pinch and pains of volunteer holes every week, go to buildgroups.net/CI, select Discover Exercise, submit the form, and we'll fill your ministry bench. So, Dave, could you speak into why continually having new leaders come into your ministry is so important? And then also, like, what are the things that you're doing? Because, I mean, if with what you were saying there, you're like, hey, we're going to lose 20% of our leaders, you know, year to year, semester to semester. And if you retain 80% of them, like, hey, that's awesome. But that means you're also replacing them. And if you guys are continually growing as you have been as a whole church, you're not looking at like a 20% loss, and then hey, you have to make up that 20. You're looking at maybe at 30 or 40%, right? You're having to go beyond that, which is a lot of new leaders from whatever that is, semester, year to year. But yeah, just talk more about that. Why is it so important to have new leaders coming? And then also number two, what are the things that you're doing to discover, develop, deploy those new group leaders?
Yeah. Well, again, it's so important because you want to make sure you've got places for your people to go. It's also the most reproductive thing that we can do as a leader, as a staff person, if I can empower someone to leadership, now they're doing ministry. It's again, and we start with, and we remind ourselves, we start with that premise of Ephesians 2:10, we're created to do ministry, you know, created to do good works in Christ, which he prepared in advance for us to do. People don't know what to do is, but I come with that mindset that everybody wants to be involved in ministry. Now, they may not want to be a groups leader. Yeah. We got to understand that too, because that's one of the important things as we are going in recruiting. So, but as you go in, if everybody wants to do ministry, then why can't I get enough leaders? And there's a couple answers to that. One would be is you've got them doing too many things. You got too many things going on. And so, or you're not setting the right vision for that in the midst of like, well, what is your church about? And again, what are you recruiting? So oftentimes we have too many things going on. It's like, you can't, if you do everything, then you're only going to be okay at all of them. But what do you want to be really, really good at? And so that's where we want to be really good at our life groups. And so that doesn't mean we're bringing in the highest level leaders that know the Bible inside and out, but that's one of those things. And so how do you, you know, so then your question is like, well, then how do you get leaders? How do you get them to do that? Do you announcements from the front? It's like, no way, you know, hey, who wants to sign up? You know, all the crazy people sign up. There's a few good ones, and you got to tell a whole bunch of people no, if you're going to vet them. And you may choose to have a direction like, hey, it's fine if people want to go meet and just do it, but if they're going to be part of our like joining, we want to have our leaders vetted, because again, we go back to everything rises on leadership, rises or falls on leadership. We also know this is this, here's why we want to vet is I know that there are for people to join a group, and I'm going to use a little bit of a stereotype here, but for guys, it's just like, why would I want to do that? We're going to have to be emotional. We're going to talk about our feelings. And I hear this. I get this story. I hear guys coming, and they even talk about their spouse saying, come to group. And they finally go, and I'm like, oh, I went begrudgingly. And they got there, and they like, it changed my life. I hear that story over and over again because the group was normal in how they led it. And so, again, it's that whole idea of understanding, like, well, how are we going to how are we setting this up to be able to, people want to get in a group, and if he gets in there and we get a crazy leader, he may never join a group again. It's like, see, told you. You know, you show up the first week, hey, tell me about your deepest sin, or like, hey man, you got to share here, or hey, you got to pray, we want everybody to pray. I've had people leave groups because a leader had everybody pray. It's like, well, you should be evaluating whether people pray out loud or not. I'm like, I've never done that. Now, in a group, a leader might be helping your group to know how to pray as a group, and that's something we talk to our leaders about, but that's not a big evaluator, because it's just where in the spectrum is now I'm mature and now I'm not. That's just, you know, I'm like, do you have integrity to follow Jesus? That's one of my key evaluators. But as far as recruiting goes, so we don't ask for volunteers. But so we also do what we would call, we recruit by referral. And so that referral piece is how we vet our leaders. So in other words, if you're going to lead a group at North Coast, we want someone to say you'd be a good leader. Someone needs to tell us you are. And so we're not asking the individual that we're recruiting. We're asking people around us, hey, who's someone that would potentially lead a group? And so we're asking that all the time year round. And obviously there are seasons that happens with that. And our leaders and our hosts are our biggest people. Hey, who's someone in your group that you would prefer to lead? And they would say, well, we don't want to lose this person, but we don't want to lose them in a group. And we're like, hey, don't worry. We're never going to pull someone out of a group. We don't want to do that. That's God's job, not our job. And they'll say, oh, I don't want this person to go. Well, why not? Well, I have shared leadership with them. Because of my travels, like, okay, that's fine. We're dealing with some major issues. Okay, great. But then we tell our leaders this too. We say, hey, here's the deal. But if we don't ask, or if you're not thinking about someone that might be potentially to lead, that's immoral. And people are like, wait, what? Right? I just don't want them to leave my group. Come on. Yeah, that's. And I'm like, well, no. Here's what I mean is it's called the Great Commission. We're going to make disciples in all the world. And when we bring more leaders in, we begin to make more disciples. And just like you were tapped as a leader, you have people in your group that the Spirit might be talking to. It's time for me to leave. Now, you might want to have them co-lead for a while. There's a whole bunch of different ways to go about that. We say that's why it is. So, but we have to cast that vision for them. So, like, talking with one of my staff just yesterday, they're on a growth spurt at their campus right now. And I go, do your leaders know you're on a growth spurt? Because calling to say, hey, I have a need, here's what it is, but you got to cast this vision ahead of time, and then you begin to come around, hey, can you help us? And then the question is there anybody you know? Not can you leave? Of course, we can ask that question. But we began to go, hey, here's what's going on. This is exciting. We want to, but you know we're not about the weekends. You know you've experienced these incredible things. So how do you begin to, is there anybody that you would potentially do that? So we have there's different people you can ask. You ask your leaders and hosts. You ask people that used to lead. You can look on different rosters of like all of our children's ministry only meets on weekends. So we can go, hey, is there anybody that you would recommend from that? But also one of the big things that we do, and this is is there's a lot of people that tell us no, but once someone's given us a referral and they tell us no, even if someone is given us a referral and we call them and say, hey, we'd love you to lead, we never let them off the hook. They've become my ministry partner, little do they know. Because someone of wisdom has said they could be a good leader. Now, I may call them and they say, I can't lead right now. I'm going, why not? Why can't you lead? Well, I'm little league coach or whatever, okay? And it's okay, we need Christians out there, right? And or all my mom or dad has cancer, and okay, so you have no time. I'm like, hey, okay, God, totally makes sense. Hey, can you do a couple things for me? This is before you hang up. So because you will never hang up with them. You're always going to be on the line with them. It's like, hey, two things. Can you pray for me right now and pray for us as a church? And also think, is there anybody else you'd give me a referral? Because, see, somebody told me this person that's not involved in our life group ministry, they are now forever in my life group ministry. They're just a referral agent. And so they become this person that is now involved. I'm going to involve them in ministry even though they told me no. And I'll call them back, you know, 3 days later, do they have it? And they'll say yes or no. Usually it's no, right? And so, which is okay. And then I'm like, hey, can I call you back in a year from now? And when we need another need, and just check and see if that's a good time. They're almost always, I think I've heard one person say no. They always say yes. But when you call them back a year later, and you start with, hey, how's your mom doing with that cancer? How'd the little league season go? You don't start with, hey, you want to lead a group? Hey, go, hey, I also want to follow up. Is this the time? And they may say yes or no. I had this one 4 years. 4 years the call was happening. And they finally said yes after 4 years and then led a group for 5 years. It was laughter and enjoyment and connection just talking then. You know, and then I would see them once in a while at church. Again, you don't always see our people that we're recruiting, but hey, how's it going? And you just checking in how those things are happening and going. I have friends that are getting called by our staff. I think it's been 7 years in a row. I'm like, keep calling them. I'm calling them again. Yeah, keep calling them. Keep that relationship. Keep that idea there. That's what we do with the no's. And so, again, that's kind of how we do it. Recruiting is the most challenging thing and the most reproductive thing. And everyone is not a gifted recruiter. Your leaders aren't gifted recruiters. The whole mentor, you need to set up a mentoring system. No, you don't. Your leaders are mentoring. You don't need to set a system up. And when you say mentoring, they're going to go, ugh. Now, there's a group that will go, awesome, that's great. And you can kind of slide the word in, but be really careful because they're going to think that's formal meetings and more Bible studies and more work they need to do, especially if you're setting that a vision for your recruiting. Guess what? You're going to lead a group and you're going to be able to mentor people. Like, crap. They're going to go, I can't do that, you know? And it's like, that's not real life. Well, are they committed? Yeah, they're committed. That's a scary word. What does it mean? They're all mentoring. Every one of our leaders are mentoring. We just need to be careful how we ever use that word and kind of setting up this idea of what it is. You can help them to know how to bring alongside, use different words that are more friendly and more able to adapt in what we're doing and how it works.
Dave, I love that there's one way to get off your list. That's to go lead a group.
You go to the next life.
you got to go to heaven. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but it's, you know, and again, you experience that with longevity at your church and all that. And in regards to longevity, hey, it doesn't work to stay long at all churches. Hey, some of us need to leave our church. It's not work. It's not good. It's not healthy. You just don't want to be a church hopper and just give up when it's hard. I always say, if I'm hiring somebody, they need to have been somewhere for 5 years. 3 years, anybody can do anything, right? At 1, 2, 3, and then your tricks are done. Can you create yourself, regrow yourself? It's like, can you go beyond that? And so that's one of those pieces. Whole nother category.
That's great. Well, man, you've given us so much. I feel like, you know, next question is that, like, this is called the Build Groups podcast. You know, what's one way to encourage churches to build groups? And I feel like you've given us an hour of that.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. All over the place. Read the book. It's a little more organized in my conversation.
Yeah. So one way I'm going to answer it for you is to buy your book.
Yeah.
Buy your book. Awesome. Read your book. And that's one great way to build your groups, because it will incite just ideas of how to improve and get better. But man, we'd love to end this with just you sharing with us a life-changing story that happens in groups. It's happened in your groups, and you've given us one, but we'd love if you could share another one of just a life-changing story.
I'd love to do that. And It's actually an email I got a number of years ago, and it's going to take a few minutes to read, but when I read it, you're going to know. I mean, I'd rather just tell it, right? A little more dynamic, but I want to read it because it's a person that sent it to me, and she said, please share this story. And whenever I get the opportunity to share it, to go bigger, it's just powerful because, again, it'll make sense. So, hi, Dave. I just want to share with you my experience with my growth group. That's when they were still called growth groups. My husband and I have been attending North Coast for about 8 years and never joined a growth group until fall of 2017, which is, you know, almost a sin to not join a group at North Coast, right? The group I selected is hosted by a couple that we knew through our son. I had no idea what to expect or whether or not we'd fit in. After the first week, my husband opted not to continue. The group had other ideas. Several of the men called him to invite him back. You know, classic guy, right? I ain't going to that. At first, he went back, just got to get them to stop calling, but gradually he found common ground with the men of the group and slowly began to bond with them. While that in itself is success, it's not my reason for writing. I myself am not an outgoing person and actually suffer from social anxiety around new people and new situations. I cannot tell you how loved and welcome our group made us feel. Their openness and honesty about themselves and their journeys encouraged us to let down our guard and begin sharing our own experiences. This past December, my brother passed away unexpectedly from complications of an elective surgery. He was only 47 and very healthy. He went into the hospital on a Monday morning and passed away 4 days later. He never woke up. At the first sign of a complication, my husband called Christy, our growth group hostess, and asked her to have the group pray for my brother. Every day for the remainder of the week, we were in touch with her, giving her updates on the situation and her sending us thoughts and prayers from the group. When my brother did pass away, the group really went into overdrive. That very evening, I received a call from Susan, one of the members of the group, asking when the best time would be for her to bring us a home-cooked meal. Thereafter, a wonderful home-cooked meal was delivered to our house each day. I've never experienced such unconditional love in my life. These people had never even met my brother or the rest of my family, and yet they took the time, energy, and effort to take care of us in the best way they knew how. Prior to all this happening, our leader Jeff had explained to all of us that being part of a growth group is a commitment to taking care of each other, and they did. The best part of all this is my family, who are non-believers, got to witness the love of Jesus through the actions of our growth group. Like myself, they had never experienced nor witnessed such love for people outside of our family. Last little bit here. I honestly don't know what I would have done without their love and support through this difficult time. Being the only Christian in my family, my grieving process had been slightly different from the rest. They were very angry and looking for someone to blame, and they want answers. While I too want answers, I know it won't change the situation or make it easy to understand our loss. I sincerely hope this my point comes across. Our joining a growth group has been a true blessing, not only to us, but also to my family. My hope is that if it came across others that are not hesitant to join a group, you can share our experience and maybe they will opt in. Isn't that powerful?
Wow.
This is a lady.
Praise the Lord.
There's a lady I met at one of our service projects. She was at the church. She was not being connected. And I said, hey, you should think about joining a group. She joined it, like, I don't know, a few months later. I had no idea. This was years later. And spiritual growth is not just this, just up. It's also sideways. You get people to relate to people and forgive. They're going to understand God's forgiveness even in a greater way. It's powerful stuff.
Man, that is such a good story. That, I mean, if you have a quintessential type of just story that you can point to, you can look at in light of, I mean, we've talked about so many things over the past 60 minutes, right, of this episode, right, Dave? And so going from the metrics and the, thousands of people that you guys are helping oversee and helping measure their health, looking at growth, looking at, hey, how do we get more new leaders? And hey, we lost this many, we're bringing in this many, like all those things that we discuss and we talk about, and we say this every episode, right, Matt, is all of that macro and the metrics and the systems and the structures, the trellis that the vine can grow up, all of it goes right to stories like this, stories of life transformation and change that, yeah, they might know the thing and they've heard it, but it is in group where they get the consistent drip and watering of that truth to keep vibrant, to keep strong, to withstand the winds of the storms as they come and try to blow them over, uproot them, and destroy them. And they stay strong, and they do so joyfully and thankfully. And that's what we just got to hear in that story.
Amen. Amen.
Man.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Dave. That's a beautiful story. Great. Thank you.
Well, I love what you guys are doing, and just keep doing it, man. Getting the word out there, helping people figure out how to get people connected. I believe it's one of the most powerful things we can do in the church. Weekend services are changing, but relationships are not. Let's go for it, man.
Yes. Yes. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. We have covered a lot of ground, and there's so much more that we can talk about. And I'm sure at some point in the future, Dave, we'd love to have you back and dive into some other topics. So, you know, I know that there's more in ammo clip that you can shoot on out there for us, and we can pick up and just go, man, that is phenomenal and helpful and challenging and encouraging. But Dave, you do more. I mean, you do more than just local church pastor. I mean, you are mentoring, you are coaching other pastors around the country in the group's world. You've got your book. If someone wanted to learn more about you and your ministry, where could they go? Just tell us a little bit about that.
100%. You can just reach out to me at North Coast at dave@northcoastchurch.com or go to North Coast, northcoastchurch.com is fine too. And smallgroupscoach.com is also my little website there. But yeah, we do coaching through our training ministry and here at North Coast and far beyond that. So anywhere from individual to group to sessions, and we customize whatever you want. Want to be available to help as many as possible. So it'd be great.
Yep. Highly recommend you guys check that out. Reach out to him. His book especially, it is phenomenal because I'm one of those guys that if I look at a book and it's thicker than a half inch, I go, yeah, I'm exactly. I'm not going to pick that up. Or I will, you know, just scroll through it, but I'm not. And his book, I mean, it's a short book. It's double spacing. There's pictures and illustrations. And so for, you know, a dimwit like me at times, the pictures are going to, you know, I mean, I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is something I can understand. And so highly recommend you get that because it is just packed full of, there's not a lot of fluff in there either. I mean, it's just straight meat the whole way through. And so you'll finish one paragraph, go to the next, and it's just packed full of a punch of protein and meat and be so good for the growth of your group's ministry. And so, guys, that is all we've got time for today. Dave, thanks so much for giving us an hour of your time today.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you guys.
Absolutely. This is the Build Groups Podcast. We conclude another episode. I'm your host, Adam Ehrlichman, our co-host, Matt Moore. Hope this was helpful, edifying, encouraging, started and spurred on some good thought trails for you. Not, didn't answer all your questions, but sure got you going a direction that maybe you should be asking some you weren't. And we will see you on our next episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.